Hi everybody. Hello, welcome to a very special edition of the Monocle Culture Show. It's the Monocle Quiz, because it's Christmas Eve, and to celebrate, we're throwing our first ever Monocle brain-teasing spectacular. I'm your host, Robert Bound, and I'm joined by two teams either side of me who will be battling it out to take the Culture Cup home with them. The questions will all be loosely based around things that have happened in the realms of the arts and entertainment over the past year. So let's meet our contestants. On my right, I have the film critic for The Observer, New Review, Simran Hans, and publisher at Unbound, John Mitchinson. Give them a hand, please. On my left, I have the film critic Jason Solomons and the arts and entertainment writer for The Telegraph, Alice Vincent. On my right, also Mark Mason, who writes proper, actual, grown-up quiz shows for the TV and the most well-regarded pub quiz in London. This is Mark Mason. Give him a hand, ladies and gentlemen. Mark wrote the questions. Mark wrote the questions, not so that I didn't have to, so that they would simply be very good. Okay, should we start this thing off? My first question is to Jason on my left. One of 2018's highest grossing movies was the latest in a series whose first film appeared in 1993. The original movie included a sound effect created from a recording of two tortoises having sex. Which movie?
Well, it could only be Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Ooh.
Spider-Man has
it
been
is. We're in the right
year.
Realm of right realm.
I'm in
certainly
a superhero
with,
realm.
We're in the right realm with it being a film that has been made a lot of times.
A franchise movie that this year incredible. No.
You've got a couple. You've got two.
Mission
more
Impossible Fallout.
It's not Mission Impossible Fallout. I'm going to pass it over to the other team, Simran and John.
The tortoise sex was ringing a bell. I know what that sound effect is because I'm sure.
Could you demonstrate it now?
It's quite a disturbing noise. Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think what the hell that would be in if it's not a superhero movie, as you've kindly told us it isn't. No, I just don't know.
Okay, well, I think I'm going to have to put you all out of your miseries, your collective miseries. One of 2018's highest grossing movies, the first film in the franchise came out in 1993. Two tortoises having sex was used as a sound effect. The answer is Jurassic Park. Oh. This year's film is Jurassic Park. Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
That
was the sound.
It's so obvious
the
when you know.
Tortoise is having sex.
I tried to block that film out of my memory, you see, so that's why I didn't get it.
You can see Chris Pine and Jessica Chastain, like kind of like tortoising along.
Okay. Simran Hans, this is a question for you. It's question two. A 2018 study by data scientists using IMDb ranked 47,000 films according to how many times they were referenced in subsequent films. For instance, Tom Hanks quotes lines from The Godfather in You've Got Mail. Which 1939 film was found to be the most referenced of all time?
Oh, no. it's got to be something like Casablanca.
Something like Casablanca?
Yeah, but I don't know for sure that that's 1939, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay, so someone's going with Casablanca. It's not the right answer. John?
It's got to be either Gone with the Wind or The Wizard of Oz, because they were both 39.
On which side are you going to come down there? The most.
I'm going to come down on, frankly, Scarlet, I Don't Give a Damn.
Ah, damn.
No, I've got
sorry.
The wrong one.
Yeah.
Really?
Frankly, Rob, I Don't Give a Damn.
I think I might have given the game away there.
John gave away, but it's working. I love Working's in the Margins. Very good. Extra point for you, John.
Yeah.
But that always helps us because I said Wizard of Oz straight away.
Okay.
That's
it. This is for you, Alice. Artist of the Year at the 2018 Billboard Music Awards was Ed Sheeran. Among Sheeran's many tattoos are one of a food product and one of a drink, both of which he loves. What are those tattoos?
I mean, I'm just going to guess because I'm not intimate with Ed Sheeran or his tattoos. But he looks like a chicken nuggets man to me. I feel like chicken nuggets are maybe some form of alcoholic beverage.
That's where I know exactly what you mean, and I'd have gone with those, almost those exactly two things. They're not right.
Right.
Jason?
Pret-a-manger.
Okay.
And the White Castle on the Hill.
Sadly not true, but I like it.
It's quite good, it's quite American.
It's quite good.
It's actually quite a good joke, actually.
It's quite good. Well, maybe it all depends on what Holly says, but maybe half a point for the answer. I'll throw it over Simon and John very quickly. Ed Sheeran's tattoos.
It's got to be a packet of Watsits, right?
Marmite.
Sadly not. It's a bottle of Heinz tomato ketchup. Oh. Don't know where he secretes that on his person. It's on his arm.
So the boat's on his upper arm.
That wasn't the answer I was hoping for. We all know the way to get ketchup out of a bottle. And a cup of tea.
Wow.
Look at that face. They're your questions.
Yeah, but I've never done that, Rob.
Okay.
So what's the answer?
Well,
so
he's got
a bottle of tomato ketchup and a cup of tea.
Oh, God.
Who thought Ed Sheeran was a mundane human being?
It's so incredibly Ed Sheeran, isn't it?
It is very Ed Sheeran. Okay, this is question four, and it goes to John Mitchinson. A book called Full Disclosure was published in October this year. It was written by a woman with the real name Stephanie Gregory. What name did she use on the cover of the book?
Oh, God. No, I've got no idea. Ringing a very faint bell.
Yeah.
Stephanie Gregory. No.
Okay, pass it over to these guys.
Was it Stormy Daniels?
Very good. Stormy Daniels, indeed. So the scores are, Simran and John have 0 points, I'm afraid. But Alice and Jason have 3 points, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so this is going to be a fingers on the buzzers round two. Each answer is worth 1 point, and whoever buzzes in first gets to answer. Can you choose your buzzers?
I like this one.
Okay.
Okay. And you're having that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. okay, so this is question one. Don't forget, it's fingers on the buzzers. Fastest fingers first. Vincent van Gogh made the news in November when a statue of him was unveiled in London, close to where he once lived. This question concerned Gogh's 1888 painting, The Red Vineyards Near Arles. What makes it different from all his other paintings? Okay, Jason and Alice?
Was it not actually by him?
Incorrect. Good answer, but incorrect. Oh. One of those.
I liked it.
It's good.
There was some confusion over his brother this year.
Yeah.
So
it was the only painting that he sold in his lifetime.
It's
pretty good. As of May this year, Paul McCartney has been to Buckingham Palace 3 times to receive honours from the Queen. Which 3 honours? John Mitchinson.
OBE, knighthood. The last one. I'm going to have to hurry you.
It's all right, I know the answers, John. I think you have to get all three to get them right.
Yeah, I think you
don't you? I'm afraid then you've lost out. It's MBE, knighthood, and companion of honour.
Oh,
he never got an OBE. Okay, next question. Don't forget, it's fingers on the buzzers. In April 2018, the Royal Mail analysed their database and found that Shakespeare has 1,005 British streets named after him. This is more than any other literary figure. Which poet, who lived from 1788 to 1824, comes second with a mere 608 streets?
Blake.
No, it's not. Passing it over.
Keats.
Sadly not.
The Arnold.
Answers. Byron.
Wordsworth.
Byron.
Wordsworth comes third. Lord Byron. Okay. Wordsworth third with 482. Shelley fourth with 423. And Chaucer fifth with 356.
Wow.
Mere children in the shadow of Shakespeare and his streets. Okay, next question. Fingers on the buzzers, don't forget. In March 2018, the US dictionary Merriam-Webster added the word embiggen, meaning to make bigger or more expensive. The word... Stop
really?
Thinking about Ed Sheeran's ketchup bottle. The word was first heard in a 1996 episode of which TV programme? Jason and Alice.
Friends.
It's not Friends.
Do you want to do the buzzer?
Okay. Simran.
Is it The Simpsons?
It is The Simpsons. Yeah. Very good!
Yes, it comes from Springfield's town motto, a noble spirit embiggens the smallest man.
Nice.
Nice.
That's good. Embiggens. So at the end of round two, the fingers on the buzzers round. John and Simran have caught up there on 2 points, but Jason and Alice have languished on 3. Give them a round of applause, though. Okay, so this is round 3, and this is an audio round. Who is playing this piano glissando?
Can we hear that again, please?
That's it. It's really long.
Not my tempo. Do you
can I go?
Yeah. Who, okay.
Is it Billy Joel?
Yeah, that's your close. I think we'll take a rush of answers on this. But John, if you want to shout, I need to hear your.
Well, I was going to say Elton, but
yeah.
Who else?
Are we going anywhere?
Seconded by Queen.
ABBA.
Shall we hear? No, it's not any of these. Okay. Shall we hear the thing in full?
Bolan. No.
Mike Bolan.
Not Mike Bolan. That is not him.
Mark's brother.
Wasn't it Bowie's piano guy?
Yeah, but who is that piano?
Mike.
It's the same. No. It's not Bowie's piano. It's the guy who played piano on Life on Mars by Bowie, who's really famous now, but wasn't then.
Is he not called Mike?
No.
Mick
he's not.
Ronson.
No, he's
Ronson.
No.
Ronson? It's not a Ronson.
No, it's Rick Wakeman.
Ah.
No, Mark Bolan only put that. You'll see it's a guitar song, and there's only that little glissando.
Yeah.
And Bolan only put that on because he wanted to give Rick Wakeman some money, because Rick Wakeman was struggling for money. And the session fee for doing that was £9. And Mark Bolan said to Rick Wakeman, I would have given you the £9, but you've refused to take it. So I deliberately put just that little tiny bit of piano on so I could pay you to play.
Good.
It's good stuff, isn't it? I love an audio round. Whose voice is this? Counting in a song from a movie.
One, two, three, four.
Would have turned 70 in a couple of months, is your clue.
Yeah. Would have.
He's, yes, would have.
Would,
he's,
he would
died.
Have.
He died in 1982.
Oh. 82.
He sounded Scottish to me.
Simran.
Is it something to do with Queen and Bohemian Rhapsody?
It's not, I'm afraid.
It's not, okay. Wow.
It's a good one.
70.
Okay, I'm going to give you a clue. At this man's funeral in 1982, Dan Aykroyd said, I remain his number one fan. He was the only man I could dance with. Whoa, strong stuff from Alice Vincent.
John Belushi.
It is John Belushi. Well
yes.
done, John. Well done, Jason. Mark?
Yeah, that's it. It's the beginning of Everybody Needs Somebody to Love by the Blues Brothers.
So here's another music one. Which famous British duo provided the guitar and bass lines on this Eminem track?
My name is White.
Excuse me.
Solomons.
This is the bass track is the Vulture, and the British duo are Chaz and Dave.
Yes, very good. That is tough and a very good answer from Jason. And there's a very good. There's some good stuff in here.
Well, it's if you want the original track, it's a Labby Siffrey song from 1975, I think, called I Got There. And Chaz and Dave, he recorded it in London, and Chaz and Dave were then session musicians. And Chaz is playing bass.
Okay, we have clips of three tracks released this year, played backwards.
Oh, my God.
There's a point for each one, if you can name them.
I believe that's Christine and the Queens, and I think the song is Girlfriend.
Yeah, unbelievably brilliant from Simran. That's pretty tough. Yes, that's such a good answer.
I've listened to that song a lot this year, so.
Okay, question two. Alice Vincent.
It's The Way You Make Me Move by Janelle Monáe.
Yes, very good. I thought these were really tough. One of the biggest albums of the year, Janelle Monáe. It was called The Way You Make Me Feel.
Ooh,
but who cares? track three.
Oh, and then a song.
Who got?
That's Kendrick Lamar.
No.
I'm afraid. Sorry, Simran.
This is America by Childish Gambino.
That was genuinely humiliating.
The whole point of that video was exactly why. You know?
It's sort of groundswell of wooing.
Jason, no one likes a smug winner. Wow.
So that was Childish Gambino with This Is America. Should we hear that played the right way? This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Okay, so at the end of round three, John and Simran have 4 points, and Jason and Alice have 10 points. Whoa. 9 points. Sorry. I thought you were holding your thumb up as well. There's a bit more time to play catch up and trample all over them. It's going to be fine. Now on to round four. In this round, you can answer. This is a team round, so you can confer and you can answer as teams. Jason and Alice, you're up first. But if you get it wrong, Simran and John will have a chance to steal it from you. Snowflake, in its new sense of oversensitive young person, was one of the words of 2018. It comes from which 1999 film based on a 1996 novel of the same name? The quote, which appears in both book and movie, is, "You're not special, you're not a unique and beautiful snowflake."
You're the film critic, my friend.
I'm going Virgin Suicide.
Just make that... You're the film critic.
You're the film critic, I know.
I'm going to have to speed up.
I'm going to go Virgin Suicide.
Saying Virgin Suicide.
It's not the Virgin Suicide, okay. I'm afraid. Passing it over to John and Simran.
Is it American Beauty?
No, it's not. I'm afraid.
That's a really good guess. Though.
Good guess.
So it's an interesting one, this. It's a good one. The answer
Bet Charlie
is
XCX.
Fight Club. Yeah.
Oh, she's obsessed with it. Really?
Oh, no. Fight Club. Fight Club.
You are not special. You are not a beautiful and unique snowflake. Mark, can you give us some context?
A chance for Jason to recover a bit of face here. Jason, what? I'm just saying because you're the film critic, so no pressure or anything. What appears in every scene in Fight Club?
Brad Pitt.
No, there is inanimate objects. There is one of them in every... In fact, I think in every shot, but certainly in every scene. The director did it as a little joke.
Easter egg-y.
Yeah, it's not... Yeah, that's...
Is it like an IKEA lamp?
No, but you're getting close. It's a Starbucks cup. It's in every scene of that film, yeah.
Okay, another one for you, Jason Ellis. One of the nominees for the best revival, as opposed to original play, at the 2018 Laurence Olivier Theatre Awards was the Almeida's production of a Shakespeare play. It contains the longest part in any Shakespeare, play, the character in question having 1,422 lines. Which part?
I can't even remember what Shakespeare Almeida put on, because it would have been in 2017 for it to win the award.
Yeah, I guess it would, yeah.
It's not technically this year, then, is it, Mark?
I think technically the awards were.
So the Richard II.
So it's a Shakespeare.
Richard II's on right now, and that's got
no.
A
it would have been on 2017.
Jason just reading Time Out loud.
That was me being like, "Someone smoke."
Richard II is a massive part. Richard III is a massive part.
One of the kings.
I'm going Coriolanus.
There we go, Coriolanus. Okay. It's got a long name.
It over to...
We think it's King Lear.
It's Hamlet.
Oh,
I said King Lear as well, I thought it was King Lear.
I mean, obviously it's Hamlet's got like the big... But was there a Hamlet?
Oh, yes, it was Andrew Scott's Hamlet! Do I get a bonus point for saying it's Andrew Scott's Hamlet?
Possibly not, Alice. It depends. You're really far behind. I think we could squeeze one in. Mark?
It's Hamlet. It's the longest part in Shakespeare, if you do the whole bit. And there's also the story about Richard Burton doing it in 1953 at the Old Vic. And he was told that Churchill was sitting in the front row. And he realised about three lines into it, he could hear this rumbling coming from the front row. And Churchill was doing the part along with him. Churchill knew it off by heart. And Burton said, "I tried everything to shake him off." He said, "I speeded up, I slowed down, I just skipped some lines." And Churchill stayed with him the whole way. And then turned up in his dressing room at the interval and said, "My Lord Hamlet, may I use your lavatory?" Churchill can get away with that sort of thing.
That's not bad.
Did he say to pee or not?
Oh, very good.
I think you should deduct a point for that.
Yeah. So it's Hamlet, then Falstaff, then Richard III, then Iago, and then Henry V, down it with 1,025 lines. I guess we're going over to Simran and John for this. Robert Redford this year said farewell to the silver screen, having announced that his performance in The Old Man and the Gun, which is out now, I guess, would be his last. In one of Redford's most famous films, he watches Paul Newman do something, or rather appear to do something. Trick photography made it look like Newman, but the actions were really performed by someone called John Scarn. What does he do?
Is this Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? No. It's Robert Redford and Paul Newman.
I don't want any of my editors to listen to this episode because then I'm going to get fired.
It's a pretty famous scene. What's the thing?
Another film that's got them both in it. Go on.
I'm going to have to pass it over.
Pass it over.
Jason.
I'm going for eating 52 eggs in Cool Hand Luke.
It's not, sadly. It's shuffling and dealing a pack of cards in the sting.
In the sting.
Yeah.
52 cards, though, in a pack.
Does he eat 52 eggs? Yeah. That was my answer to this question.
He does eat 52 eggs.
Yeah.
They're not both in it, but I just thought that was the trick photography. Yeah. You know.
Mark.
It's done by a guy called John Scarn, who could deal for... Someone's isolated it on YouTube. Go and have a look at it. And it's when they're about to stiff Robert Shaw. And by dealing him a fake poker hand. And it's an American magician called John Scarn who actually did the scene, and then they cut Paul Newman's hands back in to pick up the pack. John Scarn, incidentally, wrote a famous book called Scarn on Cards, which is consulted by James Bond in Moonraker, when James Bond is going to go and cheat at somebody with cards. So there, tie it into another famous film.
It's fact o'clock here at Monocle 24. Redemption is at hand. Simon and John, another question. This year saw the publication of Elevation, a novella by an American author. Born in 1947, he always has to have the open end of his pillowcases pointing inwards towards the middle of the bed. Which author? Hugely best-selling author.
Born in 47. Dan Brown. No?
Nope. Sorry. Passing it over to Jason.
Not Franzen, is it?
It's not Jonathan Franzen. Passing it over to Jason and Alice.
I'm going to go Stephen King.
It is Stephen King. Very good, Jason. Let's check the scores at the end of this round. And what are the scores? So John and Simon have 4 points, and Jason and Alice, meanwhile, are searing into the lead with 11 points, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. So our final round now. Okay, this finger's on the buzzers. Are you ready? You all ready? Come on.
Sorry.
Pick up your thing.
As ready as we'll ever be.
Yes.
This year saw the death of the travel writer and historian John Julius Norwich. In one of his last ever letters to the Times, he described how his mother, Lady Diana Cooper, expressed her irritation at Evelyn Waugh's affected use of an ear trumpet. What did she do? Come on, I knew this. What could you do to kind of disrupt the workings of an ear trumpet?
Perhaps she'd fill it with claret.
She'd jump on it.
Very good. We're in the right realm, but what specific sort of booze was it?
Champagne?
Yes, yeah. Come on. Well done, John. Thank you. Don't forget, fingers on the buzzers. In December, Kevin Hart withdrew as the host of next year's Oscars. But what role in Academy Awards history was played by a Mexican man called Emilio Fernandez? He played it right at the beginning of the history of the Oscars. Mitchinson.
I'm just going mad now, saying, was it his body?
Yes.
That was the basis.
You've got
the
it.
Oscar?
John Mitchinson. Don't forget, fingers on buzzers. Someone else who left us this year was the comedy writer Dennis Norden. Eric Morecambe once told Norden that there are two words that you can't go wrong with in terms of sheer comedy value. One is something traditionally eaten for breakfast. The other is a London Underground station. Which two words? Jason.
Cornflakes and Mornington Crescent.
What?
I know exactly what you're saying. I was very close to that myself. It's not the right answer. I'm going to pass it over to John and Simran.
Sausage?
No.
Sorry.
Porridge. I said a very traditional, an old-fashioned...
Cockfosters.
Yeah, you got cockfosters.
My God.
Sorry. Cockfosters. Well, we're having the cockfosters and the traditional breakfast.
You're having the cockfosters. Oh, yeah.
Kippers?
Kippers.
Yes.
Kippers.
Yes.
Very diplomatic.
Points
yeah. Oh, because in the Sunshine Boys, they said pickles is funny, kippers is funny, K is funny, L is funny.
Yeah, K. Okay.
So yes, the which is why we're all laughing so much.
So it's kippers and cockfosters. Kippers and cockfosters. In September, the Coronation Street actress Jenny McAlpine revealed that the show's director had been hiding something, at first behind a mug, then behind a handbag, and then behind a Ford Fiesta. What was the thing that was hidden?
No.
Simran?
I misheard the question, so I'd like to take back our buzzer sound.
Well, I'll give you a clue, I think. We can give you a clue. In September, the Coronation Street actress Jenny McAlpine revealed that the show's director had been hiding something of hers behind a mug, then a handbag, and then behind a Ford Fiesta. What could that possibly be that might require a larger thing to be
hidden pregnancy.
Behind? Yes!
Yeah. Ooh,
very good, Alice Vincent.
I like it. They're smashing the patriarchy, but then by trying to kind of hide pregnancy, it shows everything we need to know about 2018.
You're pregnant and, your bump needs to be hidden by a Ford Fiesta. What have you conceived that child with? Not a tortoise.
She's had a lot of kippers for breakfast.
The fictional detective has returned to our TV screens this year, played by a new actor. But he first appeared in book form and was described by his creator as a detestable, bombastic, tiresome, egocentric little creep. Which detective?
Oh, yeah, it is. I'm
Buzzer.
Stealing Jason's answer.
Alice Vincent.
We're going to say Villanelle, played by Jake.
Good answer.
We're going to say Eve, created by Luke Jennings of The Observer,
I'm afraid it's not the right answer. John and Simran. It's not a character that was created this year, it's a character that's come back this year.
It's not Morse, is it?
It's not Morse.
No.
Come on, guys.
Can we have a clue?
Who's the number?
Well, give him the author. I think it's Agatha Christie.
Oh, Agatha Christie, yeah.
Oh, Poirot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could say Poirot, correct?
I don't know. Poirot. I wonder where that came from.
Malkovich is
Yeah, he's not got that moustache.
Malkovich hasn't done the accent or the moustache, which
is a big controversy in Telegraph Towers about this.
I bet there is.
I bet there is.
Have you had letters, Alice?
I don't work on letters this, but I bet we have.
Okay, so fingers on the buzzers again. Which TV show, which celebrated its 60th anniversary this year, takes its name from a naval flag, meaning that the ship is about to leave harbour?
Blue Peter.
Well done, John Mitchinson. It is Blue Peter. Can we have some applause? You stopped clapping. Sorry. November marked the 50th anniversary of the White Album. Try this for a challenging Beatles question. Brian Epstein, 1962. Brian Epstein, 1965. Paul McCartney, 1966. Mike McCartney, 1969. What's the connection?
Where's the tumbleweed?
I think we can give him a clue on this because it's very difficult. The clue could be it's a service that was performed for each of the four Beatles by the people Other quoted people. In that year, in those years.
Was scoring drugs for them.
That might also... Jason?
Managing the Beatles?
I think I have to give you the answer here. It's being the best man at their wedding.
Oh.
It's a good question, isn't it?
Very good question, yeah.
That brings us to the end of the quiz, ladies and gentlemen. Give your contestants a round of applause. Simran and John have 8 points, but Alice and Jason have 14 points. Pretty comprehensive victory. We also have prizes. Do you want your prizes? We've got some prizes.
Oh,
no one goes home on this show empty-handed.
Crackerjack pencil.
Yeah, exactly. Because you get our very best wishes, John. Culture show producer Holly Fisher is coming around with Monocle tote bags filled with goodies.
Oh,
I think the winners' goodies are more alcoholic than the non-winners.
We need
We got some questions.
It's pretty good, isn't it? So have a rootle around in there. And that brings us to the end of the programme. Thanks to Mark Mason, very much indeed. Thank you, Mark, for rising the quiz, and to my producer Holly Fisher for doing the score so well and producing the whole thing and organising the whole thing. We'll be back at the same time next week for our end of the year review of music, books and film. But until then, from me, Robert Bound, have a very Merry Christmas and thanks for tuning in.